trying to figure out the world of finance and global politics and tariffs and everything else. I can't think of a better person than one of our favorite Renaissance men. Jason McCann is the CEO and co-founder of Very. You may remember him as Very Desk. He is the person that revolutionized office furniture with a sit-stand desk. But he's also gotten into commercial real estate. He's involved in tariffs. He's an accomplished artist and our guest right now. It's good to have you with us.
Oh, David, thanks. So glad to be here. Hopefully I'll learn something from you as well all the time.
Well,
so.
I want to learn from you about tariffs because you're seeing it firsthand. I don't know that people realize, the last count I saw is that you were operating in, 120 countries? I know you have divisions, Australia, Canada, Europe, UK, South Africa. So if I could ask anybody about the effect of tariffs, I could ask you.
Yeah, you feel it out there. I think inflationary pressure naturally happens when you layer in tariffs and really uncertainty into the market. So I think a lot of CEOs back in that April, May timeframe almost had a pause. That shock to the system hit so many of us in the supply chain because we operate here global businesses. And so we rely on parts from all over the world, assembly all over the world, and we're trying to serve clients all over the world. And so that lack of clarity and certainty did put a lot of pressure on a lot of businesses, and there is a pause ripple effect that happened that we've all been navigating through. And once it's all clear, you know, CEOs and leaders can make great decisions. But in the middle of the storm, it's a little choppy out there to navigate.
It really,
everything.
You know, it really is. I mean, there was just a story out Friday morning that Canada evidently has backed off retaliatory tariffs. I mean, this is still, you know, a work in progress. So what do you do if you're shipping? You're shipping abroad, so you try to assemble to get around this. You try to assemble and get your parts abroad so that they never come through the country, through the U.S.
Once you have clarity on what the rules are and where the best price, you know, we're all in business to really provide great products and services for our fans when they need them, and what's the best value that we can provide through the services and product. Every business is running that playbook, and so you navigate that. But it's very challenging whether you're making a product today in the U.S. and you're shipping it to Europe, or you're making a product in Asia and shipping it across. As long as you know what the rules are, you can figure out where to make it. But when they change every 30, 60, 90 days, that's where the challenges happen. So I think now that there's a little more clarity and everybody's navigating it through, I think for all of us, we make the best products we can at the right place. So we do make products here in the U.S. We make products in Mexico. We make products in Asia and South Korea and Vietnam and Taiwan, a little bit out of China. And a lot of companies do. And so as we navigate all that, we just have to play the hand we're dealt and do the best we can.
Well, you have the advantage of having facilities in place there. And also, I guess, you know, this is something we could see coming. We didn't know how long it would last or exactly what the numbers are going to be. We saw it coming for a long time. But I guess it's inefficient to just build inventory in anticipation of that because the inventory is sitting there not earning any money.
Yeah, it gets a little expensive, you know. I think we don't want to be in the warehousing business. We want to be in the distribution business. And so how do you manage that? You're managing your cash flows as leaders are, but you're also watching the consumer. So about 25% of our business may go to people's homes. So if the consumer is out there shell-shocked, they pause when they're buying, purchasing. You know, about half our business is sold online. And so you're watching that in real-time data. The other half of our business, or 75%, is corporate projects, and they're making decisions that might be a year out as they're navigating where are they going to put their new headquarters. Are they moving to Texas? Are they moving to another city? As they're returning to office, where are they going to deploy and buy the products from us on the project side? And so the pendulum can swing. And so those shell shocks to the system, last thing you want to do is wake up with all your cash and profit sitting right in a warehouse somewhere in the middle of nowhere. And so it's really the right product at the right time and for the right value.
So you bring up some interesting points. So let's take a couple of them. You talked about, you know, going back to the office. And of course, this has been the trend that we've been seeing. You know, they started out, well, we want you here 2 days a week, 3 days a week, now 4 days a week. And so are they returning to the office? And this is an opportunity for you, I guess.
Yeah, you can definitely feel it, you know, whether it was JP Morgan with their new headquarters in New York saying, and Goldman Sachs, you know, 5 days a week in the office. So there's some of the larger ones, Amazon's return to office, that have more employees than we do. And so we're seeing that at a very high level from certain companies. But overall, most employers and companies prefer more human interaction. It's a lot healthier. It's greater for culture. For really, as you're thinking about the next generation of talent that's entering the workplace and workforce and getting that mentoring and tutelage, team building culture, all those things happen through human interaction. And also the empathy gene kicks in when we learn about each other and the differences that we have and how do we find commonalities and learn and grow together. And so I think a lot of companies feed that. And so that pendulum has been swinging. So I would say most are in that 3 to 4 days a week and add a lot more flexibility into the dynamic. In the Dallas market, we've been seeing it, you know, we have about 1 million square feet in our portfolio. Our building in Southlake will have over 1,000 people in that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, but you know, and so you have a lot of people and the energy is incredible when you see that. And so I think everybody's navigating it differently. And so it's no longer, hey, let's all sit at home and stare at a computer screen all day. Let's find those intentional connection points. And so I think it's going to continue to ebb and flow over time.
Well, and also that flexibility, of course, that really goes in line with the expansion of Very from just Very Desk and the desk. But I know, having been to your headquarters, you have all these movable walls and, you know, workspaces and play spaces. But also it's the kind of thing that can be shifted around in fairly short order. And is that what businesses want now, that kind of flexibility to go from, you know, meeting rooms to individual offices to big group workspaces?
Yeah, I think everybody recognizes business change just like life over time. And so if you think about could workspaces be more like a canvas and they ebb and flow just like a business does? You're going to acquire companies and roll on new teams. You're going to roll off projects and roll out teams. And so how do you create spaces for that? How do you welcome your out-of-town visitors or the teams that are naturally remote? And so I do think it's going to have flexibility and all throughout it. And so we keep trying to crack the code on it through the products that we bring to market. We recognize you've got the bones of a space that are those sort of no-regret investments. So a great cafe, gym, meeting rooms, collaboration spaces, some heads down focus areas. But then where do those human connection points happen? Where does the skunk works happen? Where's the ideation happen? So how do we create spaces at flex? And so I think all of it, we're continuing to work through what are those products that we can offer and services as we set up people's spaces. And we also recognize when people are working at home, I mean, some people have the luxury of an extra bedroom, you know, and you may live in the Texas market. And so you've got an office bedroom. Not everybody can afford to have an extra workspace in their home. And so how do you help them create intentional spaces for the times or for the jobs and roles that are also remote? And so us continuing to work through that as well.
But really post-COVID, I mean, I think it changed a lot. And I've talked to a lot of builders, multifamily and also single family. And they say that more and more, we always have to incorporate a workspace, that, you know, that lesson was learned from COVID. And while we don't, knock on woods, lots of wood, we don't go back to COVID, is that people want a place to work from home. Is that still what you're seeing? I mean, I'm sure you had a rush of business with COVID because everybody had to set up, you know, an office space at home that they didn't have.
Yeah, I think they're the marketing people. They would go, wow, you just doubled your total addressable market size because now I need a workstation at work and a workstation at home, and I want comparable tools, just like technology, right? You want a seamless interaction or even a third space, like a co-working, because a lot of people also from a mindset don't want to work inside their home. There's also, I want to get out. So they may go to a Caddo or to a co-working space just to get out and be with other people. And so I think all those things are continuing to morph and change. We're all different as human beings, but anthropology would say, hey, there is something about the tribe. We want to work together. We want to be together. We want to be productive together. And so finding those moments for that human space to happen. And so I think that's going to continue to happen. So it's been, you know, a blessing for us as we continue to listen to the customer and help them along the journey and allows our product team to come out with great new solutions.
So also I watched you become a landlord taking over space. I guess it was the old Zale headquarters that you took over and some other things.
Yeah.
So how is it being a landlord? Everybody paying their rent?
Oh, it's been Wonderful. It was a great learning experience, you know, as far as I had never actually owned office buildings, but for us to treat it like, hey, we're going to learn. And so we've got about 1 million square feet in our portfolio. I would say 18 months ago to, you know, kind of that post-COVID, all the commercial real estate people were like, this is the worst it's ever been in Dallas for 50 years. And I'm only 55, so I have no idea what that really means. But they said it was really the bottom. I'd say the leasing activity in the last 90 days has been the highest I've ever seen it. The amount of large companies that are clearly planning to come to this market or expand in their current spaces for everybody in the real estate, especially in DFW, it is unbelievable. I have never seen this much activity. In fact, I did two tours this morning. That's why you and I had to move our call. I mean, and for us, and obviously, if they don't choose our buildings, which is fine, we'll hopefully get a chance to earn their business and create a great space with our products because that's our core business. But the companies that are coming in are incredible. So to have AI firms in our buildings, retailers that are moving, technology teams in our buildings, fintech that's in our buildings, like all these great companies inside our portfolio. So I get to walk around and
So
see how they're.
it hadn't slowed up any. In
No, I
fact,
would say it's on the cusp of being even massive. If we're not full by the end of next year or in the next 9 months, I'd be shocked.
well, no way. I know enough about real estate.
In
Is
our
it? Is it?
portfolio.
I know enough about real estate. If you're at 100%, you need to raise rents.
Okay, I'm going to tell my friends at Cushman today, so Johnny and Chris and Zach.
It's
And
a
I agree. No, I totally understand what you're. I think that's the reality is we're in a. It's a. It, and again, the crowd builds a crowd. So you get the great spaces. You've made the investments in the energy, and you're in the right locations with great assets. I mean, what Cawley's doing and others. I mean, John Goff's doing in Fort Worth. It's incredible. So I think it's attracting great people and great companies to this market.
And it's interesting. Thank you for spending some time with us because it's interesting to see you adjust to the playing field, even if they have yet to tell you all the rules, which is not fair. Jason McGann is the CEO and co-founder of Very and our guest today. It's good to have you with us.
Oh, David, you're awesome.
Again,
I appreciate all you do.
thanks a lot. For more of my conversation, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.